supporting you in your dog parenting journey. The Dynamic Dog Owner with Debbie Potter. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Dynamic Dog Owner. So this week we're going to be talking a little bit about obedience. Why, what it is, how it's interpreted, how it's misinterpreted, and my thoughts on obedience. So obviously, as you know, we are a dog training school. We work with many, many different people, from puppy owners to adult dogs, people trying to fix problems that they are experiencing with their dogs. Across the board, we work with many, many different people and families and different types of dogs. And many people want a quick fix. They want their dog to suddenly just behave perfectly. And they get hung up on this image of perfection. But my always question is, well, what's perfect? You know, what is perfect? Because it's so different for everybody. But people use words like command and obedience because they want their dogs to behave. And I think it's very much a little bit about expectation versus reality. But people want their dogs to behave in every situation, no matter the situation, in the same way without any sort of feelings, really. And this, again, it kind of links into other episode topics we've talked about. But generally, it's what I'm referring to are people who want their dog to completely and 100% fit in with their lives. So, you know, we like going to the pub, therefore our dog should come to the pub with us every single time. We like walking down busy high streets, therefore our dog should just like it. We want to go here, there and everywhere, and our dog should just come and be happy with that. And it is very much, you know, I want my dog to behave in every situation. Now, I personally cannot stand the word obedience, because when we use the word obedience, we're implying that our dogs should do as they are told, no matter what. And I personally don't think that is fair. Because dogs have thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Yes, they're not as complex as ours, but dogs do have emotions just the same as us. And I think, and I truly believe, that we should learn to respect those. So I would much prefer my dogs to be happy. I would much prefer them to have feelings and emotions. And for me to understand how they are feeling and the emotions behind their behaviour, and for me to learn how to respect those, to help them to be in situations where they are comfortable, and almost for me to act as their advocate rather than just them fitting into my life. Rather than them just being obedient, rather than them just fitting in, because it's not fair. Now, I think one of the reasons that I am particularly passionate about this is because of my experiences with my children, which I haven't really got into much yet on the podcast. It's a topic that I will explore because I think it will give everybody a little bit more of an understanding about why I train the way I do and why I give dogs so much respect. But there is a fallout to obedience and making our dogs behave. Because a dog who is obedient in the traditional sense that we want them to just do as they're told and fit in, generally aren't allowed to have an opinion. If you don't like it, tough, I want you to like it so you will like it. And therefore, they can and they do become a little bit traumatized and can have a fallout from this approach. Now, this isn't every dog. I'm not saying everybody, everything, but I'm talking in general that if we want our dog to just be obedient and disregard their thoughts and their feelings and their emotions, they will end up, yes, we will have a well-behaved, whatever that means, obedient dog. But I would much prefer to have a dog who is happy, chilled, relaxed, allowed to bark, allowed to tell me they're not comfortable in a situation, than to have an obedient dog who is effectively traumatized and not allowed to have an opinion. Because that's important. Now, the reason I refer it back to my children is because for a very long time, and you know, we all only know what we know at the time, we can only do what is best what we think is best at the time. For a very long time, I tried to put my children into a world that wasn't designed for them. I didn't know it at the time, but rather than listening to them, rather than leading with my heart, I led with the conforming of this is what children should do. They should be well behaved and they should be obedient and they should go to school and they should do this and they should do that. Now, from fitting in or making my children fit into a world that wasn't designed for them, we are living with the fallout from forcing people, children, into a situation that isn't right for them. And partly I have this approach because of dogs, and partly I have it because of the experiences I've had with people. But the fallout of dogs is potentially more dramatic, I would say. If a dog isn't allowed an opinion, if a dog isn't allowed to have thoughts and feelings and know that they are respected, then the fallout can be huge. If we try to make them behave by generally using more aversive techniques, so that can be tugging on the lead, little lead checks, and using slip collars, using prong collars, shock collars, e-collars, when we are using those tools, we are effectively telling our dog, don't show me your emotions, don't have an opinion, I just want you to behave like all the other good dogs. And eventually, there will be a fallout to that. Because if a dog is scared, if a dog is excited, if a dog has a big emotions, and they're always basically being told to suppress those, one day they will no longer be able to suppress those emotions. And that's when we tend to see bigger emotions because they've held on to them for so long. Well, this is the same for people. It's the same for all of us. We all know if we stew on something, it often festers, and then the problem gets bigger and bigger and the issue gets bigger and bigger inside us, and then we have a big reaction or we explode. Same goes for children, same goes for people, same goes for dogs. So my big sort of area that I like to work on is that dogs should be respected. As a dog parent, and that's what we are, we're dog parents, we're dog caregivers, we are advocates for our dogs. We should primarily learn how to respect our dog, how to listen to what they are telling us so that they feel respected and they feel heard. It's our job to create a life where they can be happy, to maybe change the plans we originally had, because they're not going to be a cookie cutter of a dog. You know, we all want and get a dog because we see that perfect life, that perfect dog walking down the street, that perfect image of happy, lovely, lucky, good people, amazing, we're going for a lovely walk and our dog just stays by our side. I put a lead on my dog and it stays next to me and walks beautifully. My dog never does anything naughty, what we perceive as naughty. That's not realistic. We know that's not realistic. But what we do about that is important. And our dogs should be allowed to make choices. Our job should be to create a happy world for them, give them an opportunity to be able to naturally make good choices and to feel respected and know that they can make choices and have emotions. Now, this kind of builds into, if you've been to one of my training classes, you will know that I talk a lot about not telling dogs what to do all the time. Because, yes, it's our thing of, I must tell my dog, I must command it, I must make it be obedient and do as I say. Which I get, because, yeah, it would make our life so much easier. But my argument is, if our dog's behaviour and the way they act is reliant on us. So us giving them an instruction, us telling them what to do. So for example, giving them the cues of heel, stay, sit. If their behavior is reliant on external tools like slip leads, like e-collars, like prong collars, like anything really, leads, if their behavior depends on those things, what happens when they aren't there? So if, for example, I'm just using any situation, this isn't a particular person I'm thinking about or a particular dog or anything, it's just a situation, but imagine that every time you see a dog walking towards you, you ask your dog to sit. We think that we are creating obedience, but will your dog sit in that situation unless you are there to tell them to do it? You are the catalyst. You know, you are the thing that makes the behavior happen. If you lose your voice and don't tell them to sit, are they likely to do it? Probably not. If we're doing loose lead walking and we're constantly telling our dog heel, 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 and checking and pulling on the lead to get them to walk nicely, the behavior is reliant on us. We are telling them how to behave, what we want them to do, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. A much more effective way of training is teaching them to do things through their own choice and through natural consequences. Because if they are making the right decision, if they learn it gets them something good or has a consequence, they are going to be much happier, for one, because they're doing it of their own accord. But secondly, their emotions, their associations, and their positivity and their learning is developing. The more we work on this in future, they are going to make those choices because they want to make the choice, not because somebody is telling them how to or what to do. Working with our dog's emotions is really important. Respecting our dog's emotions is really important. So it's more of a thought process and a way of thinking that obedience is us controlling dogs. Think about that on the flip side. How would you feel if someone wanted you to be obedient and control you? You wouldn't like it. You wouldn't like it if someone always told you how to walk, where to walk, not to go too far away, to do exactly as they told you, no matter what. We would consider that as being abuse. So why is it acceptable for our dogs and for us to treat our dogs that way? What we're looking for is creating situations where our dog can learn, our dog can practice what we want them to practice, rather than us putting them in situations where they have to show emotions. It kind of builds into, I think, the world where we want instant results nowadays. We want to be entertained quickly. My dog is pulling on the lead. I want it to stop. I want it fixed in an hour, please. That is unrealistic. It's not likely to happen. What is likely to happen is your dog developing over time. Liken it to people. We expect our people to not really make fully rational decisions until they're about 25, because that's when our human brain matures. Yet we expect a puppy to know how to do everything in 2 months of us having it. So by the time they're 4 or 5 months old, they should know what to do by now. It's unrealistic. It's not fair. And we then get caught in this trap of obedience. So obedience is an old term that is used. You know, I'm taking my dog to dog obedience classes, because we lived in a world many years ago where we didn't know as much as we do now. That is the beauty of our world, that we are always growing, changing, evolving, learning new things, trialing new methods. And I think we have the most respect for animals, children, other people than we ever have had. In terms of, you know, that you don't have to fit in and do what was expected of you. You can carve your own path. You know, it used to be that children were seen and not heard and they did as they were told. Yes, some people would agree that was the best way, but there is always a fallout of that. Yes, they may be compliant, but at what cost to their own self-worth? And the same happens with our dogs. It used to be that dogs had to be obedient and you went to a dog obedience class to make your dog behave. But I think we have to start understanding and respecting that it's not about obedience. It's about dogs making right choices. If my dog can make a good choice, then that is where our training is at. It should be dogs learning what is acceptable, what's not acceptable. But we have to take the responsibility of helping them with that. They don't just know. The way we can help them is by creating situations where they get things right, where we're not putting them in situations where they have no choice but to get it wrong. And this can be, you know, social situations. It can be entering into busy environments and expecting them to just behave perfectly. We have to give them that choice and respect that not every dog will want everything, and they're not always able to live the same life that we would maybe expect. It kind of builds into a previous podcast episode we touched on. But it's the word obedience. Just have a think about what it means to you and whether you would like to be obedient to somebody else. If dogs make good choices, then they are effectively showing behaviour we want them to do and the behaviour we want to see from them. And this could be loosely walking, this could be recall, this could be ignoring people and dogs in our environment, it could be anything. Think about in every situation, what good choice would I like my dog to make? Because effectively, if we create that situation where they can make the choice, if we reward the choice, they will keep making that choice. And then we don't actually have to interfere and talk to our dog at all because they will make that choice. So when you're out for a walk, you won't constantly be having to shout, come or here, heel, come here, do this, do that, to make them behave, because they will naturally, from when they're a puppy, learn, or when you first get them, learn and grow, learning which choices to make and naturally choose those things. Therefore, you won't have to speak to your dog on a walk because they'll naturally make the right decision. You won't have to create obedience because they will naturally know how to behave, what's polite, what's not. And therefore, you're going to have an easier life because your dog is going to make those right decisions. Your dog is going to have a much more steady character because their feelings and their emotions have been respected. They know they're allowed to feel emotions. They don't have to suppress them. And therefore, you're going to have a much better life together. And this is where dog training, it's not about teaching the dog. Dog training is 50-50, and it's a partnership between you and your dog. 50% is teaching your dog something new. 50% is you learning how to build a relationship with your dog and develop your own skills to change your thought process to help your dog get it right. So it's not just about obedience. As I said earlier, I would much prefer a dog who is allowed to have emotions and allowed to display them than a well-behaved, obedient dog who is traumatized and not allowed an opinion, because there will be a fallout from that. Very deep episode this week. Hopefully you have enjoyed it. Feel free to give me your comments and your thoughts, because hopefully this will just make you think slightly differently about a different way to approach our dogs, so that dogs don't have to be obedient. Have a wicked week, and I'll catch up with you soon. Thank you for listening to The Dynamic Dog Owner with me, Debbie Potter. See you next time.